It's good to see you today. Glad you're here. Hope you had a good week. Hope you hadn't listened to too much of what's on TV and radio, because you could talk yourself into a good depression if you did that, couldn't you? But thank God we're not under the circumstances, and we're victorious. Hallelujah. No matter what else is happening all around the world right now. It's great to have this brand new baby. Make sure you embarrass Grandma Marge real good today before she leaves, and see that baby in the back. I told Kaylin, he is beautiful. And we've got two other beautiful children here today, little Howie. And is that other baby back there? He's gone? Oh, man. Layden, you know, he showed up at an Emmaus meeting yesterday. But make sure you see all these folks today. Some of you that were here at the early service, you may have seen this couple that was sitting over here. That was the Hemingways, just so you'll know. One of my dear friends, Tim Sally Hemingway. Tim and I were, he was my confessor for about 3 years. We were in a small group together, he and I and Larry Spear. And a great, great guy. He's now a counselor. He's pastor, was pastor, is now a counselor, Christian counselor in Macon. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to the 28th chapter of Genesis. And I'll just let you know right now, I'm kind of altering this as we go along. Someone asked me one time, and said, well, Dust, what kind of look are you going for on Sundays and when y'all get together? I said, well, the look I'm going for is the what you see is what you get look. And that's the one I'm most comfortable with, and I believe that's the one God's most comfortable with. Wouldn't you say that might be one of the things you could ascribe to the Lord? What you see is what you get. And in having a relationship with Him. But we're going to talk about prayer today and about unlocking the gates of heaven. But I want to start with a story today from the 20th chapter of Genesis. And this is out of the life of Jacob. We're going to begin reading in verse 10. But just a little background about it. Jacob and Esau, the sons, the twin sons of Rebekah and Isaac, son of promise. And Jacob, whose name means heel snatcher, who was a liar, who tricked his brother Esau. Esau was the kind of, if Esau was living today, he'd be wearing camouflage. And smell like he had just butchered a deer. He was that kind of guy. His dad liked him, but Jacob was the favorite of mom. And they had cooked up this deal, and they tricked Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing. And Jacob then has to leave town. Mom essentially says, you know, son, it might be a good idea for you to go up to Haran to some of the relatives up there and lay low for a few days until all this quiets down. And that's what he did. So he departed, verse 10. Jacob departed from Beersheba, went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and he spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. Now this is important. He takes a stone and he's using it as a pillow. He had a dream. Behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Now, we spiritualize all this. I want to let you know right now, we don't even know at this point if Jacob even believed in God. At this point, what's indicated later in the story, he probably had no personal relationship up to this point. And now he has this dream. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth. You'll spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. Did they do that, by the way? Have they done that? You better believe it. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Has that been fulfilled? How specifically have all the families of the earth been blessed through the line of Jacob? The Christ, Jesus the Christ, came through that line. All people have been blessed, past, present, and future. Behold, I am with you, and I'll keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. In other words, you really are going to be, God's affirming the fact that Jacob's going to be taking a trip. He's affirming the fact, yes, you're about to go out of town for a while. And essentially, he was about to go to school in what would become his father-in-law Laban's special school of discipline, where God disciplined Jacob through this man. God doesn't let you skip any grades, by the way, today. He doesn't let you skip. You may I dodged that one. No, you didn't. He's just waiting to put you in school at a different place. But you're going to go through it in order to grow. That's with all of us. Behold, I'll be with you, verse 15, wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, and I'll not leave you until I've done what I've promised. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. That's a description could be used for a lot of us in our country today and in the West. He was afraid and he said, how awesome is this place? He's just taken back. It's like, now think of it. He's been around Isaac. He has seen the worship take place. He's been around that all his life. And yet, it's like this is fresh as a daisy to him. Surely the Lord's in this place. I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than Bethel, the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put under his head and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. There's an anointing that takes place. And he called the name of the place Bethel. However, previously the city had been known as Luz. And I want to remind you though, but his fathers who had gone before him have found this place also. Bethel. And Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, is that in the realm of possibility with God? That he'll be with us? Yes. I will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food and food to eat and garments to wear. I return to my father's house in safety. Then the Lord will be my God. Look at all those stipulations for God. Then he'll be my God. Well, did God do every bit of that? Yes, sir, he did. Yes, sir, he did. He provided for him in every way. This stone, which I've set up as a pillar, will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I'll surely give a tenth to you. It became a gate. Bethel, the house of God, that place became the gate of heaven for Jacob. Do you have a gate to heaven? Do you have access to the Lord through prayer? There are a lot of things going on around the world right now. It's swirling. A lot of things going on in our country. It's swirling even more. But in the midst of that, who is in control of everything? The one who has given us access, a gate. He said to us, "You have a gate to me." That's essentially what happened in Jacob's life there. "You have a gate to me, Jacob." This is a gate to heaven. This is an access to the throne room. "I have come and revealed myself to you, the living God." For him to say, "How awesome is this place?" His words can't begin to describe what it's like to be in the presence of God, the living God himself. He had been a part of religion. We talked about that last week. Religion all of his life. And it was religion for him because it was all about man, you know, stepping up to God. And now God sovereignly comes and breaks into his life with the circumstances. He's on the run. He's scared his brother's going to kill him, that Esau's going to come after him. And one of Esau's arrows that he is so good with is going to find Jacob's heart. He's fearful for his life. He's on the run. He doesn't know what to do. All he knows is, "Mama told me to get out of town, and I'm going. I'm afraid." And in the middle of this, he has this awesome experience with God himself. And he meets God. And I want to remind you, he doesn't meet God in all the best ways. Look at what he gives God a shopping list of things. "If you'll be with me, you'll take care of me, I'll have something to eat." He goes on the list. "Then you'll be my God." And for some of you that worry about the fact that, well, even when I meet God, I don't know if I'm going to be up to it, if I'll tell him the right thing. I'm telling you, it's messy. Because we're messy. Because we're in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, and it's messy. But I want you to know, when God takes the first step toward us, he's not going to stop. He's going to chase us with an everlasting love. He loves us. He sees beyond that. Because see, the Lord could see beyond Jacob, who Jacob thought he was. He could see him. He could see him for whom he created him to be. You know, today we think of, you know, Jacob, you know, later his name would be changed to what? Israel. How about that? When your name is changed to Israel. Wow. But in our way of looking at it, this is no Israel here. This is a guy running away. His tail tucked between his legs. And he doesn't know what to do. And still with a great arrogance in his life. And yet God has reached out to him and said, "Jacob, here's your gate to me. Bethel, the house of God." Now, I want to talk a little bit about prayer on the basis of that story. Your story. God has come to you. He has thrown open the gate of heaven to you. And he has said, Jesus put it in these words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know anybody needs rest today? You know anybody that needs an open gate to heaven? A Bethel experience? A house of God that I can go to that place and it'll be wide open? I want you to know
that God is available to you in that way today, no matter where you are, what's going on in your life, what kind of garbage that you've heaped up in front and said, God is too big for you. This is too big a problem. I'm too far gone. The situation over here is too far, God. You just need to go ahead and nuke us now.
The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, pray without ceasing. In Romans 12:12, it says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted in prayer. Note that prayer and tribulation go together, don't they? In Ephesians 6:18, it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. In other words, stay at it. Stay in prayer. Stay before Him. Stay at the gate of heaven, your gate of heaven, and ask. And it does, even in the Lord's model prayer, He assumes that we're going to be asking there. And, you know, there's kind of a subculture that I've become very uncomfortable with in recent days that makes it so that if you're really spiritual, you're never going to ask God for anything. It's always just going to be, oh, I praise you, Lord. I thank you. And I want you to know that's how we enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise. That's how we enter. But what happens once you get in? Once you come in the gate to heaven, who are you going to ask for your needs? You see, the dirty little secret that is underneath that subculture that is out there, it's like, oh, I'm okay. All of my needs are being met by whom? How long does it take for your little gravy train to get dried up? See, we must come to Him. You know, the psalmist, here's the psalmist over and over again, pleading, asking, crying out to God, saying, God, I need you. Now, here's a few ground rules about prayer, about coming through those gates that I want to set out today. Jesus purchased our right to pray on the cross. He opened that way. And see, even Jacob had access to the Father, and the Father gave that access knowing that it was going to be paid for future by the Son. We come humbly into His presence. Each time that we pray, each time that we come into His presence, who is there praying with us? The Holy Spirit. At times, the Holy Spirit is making groanings that can't be uttered, right? There are times, do you ever feel like when you're praying about things that you ran out of words? What? Now, we believe in all the gifts here. We teach all the gifts. And one of those gifts is the gift of speaking in tongues. That God has given that gift to some. And sometimes we can pray in that. But hey, even for folks who have not received that gift, there are times we run out of words. And there's a lot of grunting that goes on. And you feel like even after you've spoken the words, can God even be limited to the English language? Just think that. Because the language is a creation of man. And to say you've got to box God in and the description of Him to a language is wrong, isn't it? Prayer, another ground rule, prayer doesn't change things. God does. You know, I know what people mean by that prayer changes thing, that bumper sticker and all. And the assumption is you're praying to God and you have humbled yourself in His presence. Well, why don't we just say that? God changes things. And speak what the truth of it is. And I don't understand this, but God has chosen to work through our prayers. That is His chosen way. He's chosen for us to pray to Him, to call on the things that He's already decided He's going to do, but He wants us to ask Him. He's got it prepared. He knows. He knows what we need before we ask. And He's already got it prepared and ready to give to us. That's why the Scripture says you have not because. And when you ask wrongly. You ask amiss. Ask with the wrong heart. You ask with the wrong motivation. You see, God could do any of this. He can snap this. We got a new roof this week. Insurance company's paid for part of it so far. They've promised us they're going to pay for the rest of it. And you pray with me about that. That they're going to come. They say I got it in writing that they're going to do it. We've not gotten that cash in the hand yet. but I'm praying for that. But that's a gift from God. Last spring we were praying over this, you know, got a leaky roof. You can see a couple places where it's leaked. We ain't got $30,000 to spend on a roof. Lord knows, we're stretching it every week, you know, financially. And then we get a hailstorm. And wind. I complained a year and a half before that. When the insurance upped our insurance because they came with a strong arm, said you've got to have this wind and hail addition codicil rider on your policy. You've got to have it. We got it. And now they got it. Praise be to God. Glory. You know, and Dusty missed it. We had the hailstorm, and I wasn't praying for that. Please, don't go out of here saying, oh, the pastor, he was praying for hail to come on that roof and that wind to come, and so we get that new. No, I was praying for a new roof. Let's let God work it out how He wanted to do it. And I'm shoveling that stuff out here one Sunday morning, all that gravel that's coming. I'm shoveling, putting it, already got a 5-gallon bucket full of that stuff. And Matthew Manning calls me the next day. Said, Dust said, my daddy said yesterday, have you called the insurance company? I said, about what? He said, about that roof. You know, in the cartoons where the little light bulb lights up? You know. Ding! Well, anyway, God has chosen to work through our prayers. And He gets creative with them, doesn't it? So that's why when you're praying about something, don't give God, you know, don't say, Lord, you know, here's some ideas I have about how you can do this. Cash is nice. But there are other ways God can do it. You know, He can give you the 30 grand, or He can give you the insurance policy. Here are some principles about prayer that I want you to see as you come to the gate, your Bethel. You don't have to belong to an elite class for God to hear your prayers, do you? Now, I'm talking to some of you that have done the all shucks routine all your life, and you've not prayed like God will answer your prayer. Because you're thinking, oh, that's for the prayer warriors that are up here. The intercessors that are here. You know, I don't read anywhere in there that God has limited
that privilege of having a Bethel, a house of God. And if he could use and come and answer the prayers of a snake, a liar, a heel snatcher like Jacob, hey, where are you on that list? They're having a good time back then. You don't have to understand the whole process of prayer before you pray. That's another lie from the evil one. I've got to know, Lord, how this fits together and how that fits together. I want to ask you, when you take your automobile to the mechanic that you trust, do you say, well, now, really, I think that little modulator valve for the transmission, if you'll look at it, to when you get it broke down today, if you get it down, I don't think it's working correctly, and it's not shifting in the gear. No, that's not what you say. You come to your mechanic and you say, it don't work. Help. What do you do with God when you come in prayer? He needs to be the first place that we go and not the last resort. Well, God, I've exhausted these. Now, don't hear me saying today, if we tried other things that you still can't pray. No. But why not go to him first and not waste all that time and all that energy and all that worry? Why not come to him first and seek him? You see, Jacob would learn that lesson later in his life. Another principle, God honors consistency in prayer and in our lives, doesn't he? As we come before him and we're consistent. And you know, I started out with kind of a grin about, just what you see is what you get. You know, that is one of the problems in the Western church, isn't it? We all gather together and act like we had never done anything wrong. Act like we don't have any problems. Act like it's always okay. What's wrong with that story? It's a lie. All about appearances. But you know what? America's wanted to appear a lot more wealthy than she is for a long time. The bill has come due now. Our vice president was over with hat in hand talking to the Chinese leadership this past week. That's humbling. That's humbling. That's very humbling. But we've got to, as we come before the Lord, to be honest with him and honest with each other. A righteous life will energize your prayer. You know, God meets Jacob at this point, and Jacob has his experience of meeting God. You know, it would be later on as we would see him grow in his life, as he would grow in his faith. And we would see that even his prayer life would become more energized as he's hearing from God. How about your prayer life? Could it be energized by removing some of the distractions that are there? Another principle, God often uses other people to answer our prayers. I'm sure that
when Jacob and Esau were born, that Isaac and Rebekah had been praying over those boys that they would grow up as Jesus would grew up in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I'm sure that was the kind of spirit that they prayed over these boys. But look at all who God would use in Jacob's life to fashion him into the man that he would be. If you read on the next chapter, in chapter 29 in Genesis, you'll see there that Jacob comes in contact with a man who would become his father-in-law, who was a bigger shyster than he was. And he takes him to school. And he messes with his heart. And he messes with his money. And he messes with everything most dear to him in his life. See, God uses people in our lives. Sometimes some are people that augment and some are just like sandpaper. Also, we see that God's doing things that we can't even imagine in prayer. There's no way. Do you think when Jacob left home that he could have ever imagined, I'm going to meet God in this way, and all I can say is, it's awesome! He is awesome in this place. So much so that he builds an altar there and calls the place the house of God. The guy who wanted no part of God, most probably up to this point in his life. And finally, answers to prayer tend to build in a sequence that goes something like this. We'll talk about this more later. Prayer, faith, obedience, revelation. Prayer, faith, obedience, revelation. We pray and ask God. We believe that He hears and answers our prayer. He speaks to us concerning that. Many times, answering a question we didn't ask in the prayer. Bringing up something. And then by faith, we must be obedient to what He says. And then there is revelation. Oh, that's what you were trying to show me all this time. You wanted to teach me a lesson about life. It wasn't just about me paying my electric bill this month. It was more. So, here's a few keys to unlocking the gates of heaven for you. Begin to learn to tarry in prayer. Now, it is hard to tarry like this. Now, let me tell you why. This little device becomes a constant distraction where there is no listening time in our lives. Now, I don't know what your parents did for you, but I can remember my mother disciplining me when I was a child and saying, now why don't you just go on into your room and you think about it for a little while? Now, who wants to do that? Go think about it. There's no time for meditation. You've got to become proactive about that if you're going to pray in these days. That means there's some, I'm not saying that this is evil, but it can be. It can be. It can become the ultimate distraction. I saw that very clearly when I was in the outback of Nigeria, out where, you know, there's no, you know, They're out there, no running water in this place, and I mean out in the country, out way out in the country, and here's a guy that's and he's tilling the land and all, and then you hear this noise. I've heard that somewhere before. What is that noise? It's a cell phone, and he stops tilling, and he answers the phone. It's global. It's global. Learn to tarry in prayer. Secondly, look around you to see how God is working. And I know some of you are saying right now, preacher, I don't see God working. Let me say it right back to you with, I'm going to hit that fastball right back to the box to you. You don't see him working because you're not looking. You're not paying attention. It's time to wake up and smell the coffee and see God, how he's working around you. Why don't you ask him? I dare you. Show me today, God, where you're working. And then look. Look. But be ready. Be ready. You give God a throwdown like that, he's going to produce. It may not be pretty. Third, we need to increase our time of prayer. It's hard to pray when your mind is muddled. Whatever it takes to get away. That's why a good time to have a prayer is when you first get up in the morning. You're fresh. Have you a Bethel, a place you can go to where the gate's open? And finally, press into God himself. Press into God. You can't, now listen to this. Maybe the most important thing I tell you today. You can't afford to get drunk on something else before you come to God. You hear me? Now, I've listened this in the last 2 days, I've listened to radio stations and TV stations that cover the gamut of everything political or philosophical opinion. The gamut. I've listened to them. You know, one thing they all had in common? If I had to make one phrase, they all agreed on, we're in deep doo-doo. Now, kids, don't quote that at school. Well, we got rid of the ones that... But I want you to know today, that's not what God's called us to. We're living in this country, but God has called us to greater, to more, to receive from him. And it's time for us to come into a world that lacks hope with the hope of Jesus. The hope that redeems, that saves, that changes lives. And in the midst of a bunch of lemons, let's make lemonade. Let's do what only God can do through us. And we are his chosen instrument. I tell you this all the time. For such a time as this, God put us on the planet. Think of all people. You know, he didn't choose to put Martin Luther to live at this time. He didn't choose for Paul to live at this time. He didn't choose for Jim Elliot to live at this time. He chose us for such a time as this. It's time to get in the batter's box, get a bat, and go to work with the kingdom of God being the salt, being the light, being who God's called us to be.
and enjoy the ride with a smile on your face. Because, you know, we have a lot to smile about. Oh, man, you can put a bullet in my head, but I'll just get me to Jesus faster. I belong to Jesus. I'm a blood-bought, twice-born, glory-bound child of God. And there's nothing that the evil one can do in raining on my parade that's going to change that. Let's charge hell with a water pistol. All right, have I laid enough cliches on you now? I got a million of them. I've been at this a long time. I'm an old goat when it comes to all that stuff. And to that I have to say, oh me, I'm guilty. All right, let's pray. Now you got an opportunity to practice what I just preached. Okay? Altar's going to be open. You can sit in your pew or you can come up to the altar. There'll be people around to pray with you today. If you've never received Jesus in your life, today's the day of salvation. Don't put it off. If you got some burden you carried in here, let's not carry it out. Let's lay it on Jesus today. He's got broad shoulders. He can take it. Whatever you got, He's saying, give me your best shot. I can take it. Lord, I thank you for the day you've given us, for your word clear and plain. What you're doing in our lives, I give you praise and honor and glory, majesty. You're the only true God in this world. God, I am praying for a renewal of joy in the Lord. Lord, I'm praying for people in this room right now whose businesses are suffering right now. I'm praying for a blessing from God that's going to come on those businesses. Lord, for people who need jobs who are here today, I'm praying you're going to open up that they will gain employment. Lord, I'm praying for those who are sick today that they would be healed today by the power of God, that your healing would come, your anointing would come. And Lord, I'm praying for every one of us that the gate of heaven will open and we'll see it wide open. And we'll have to say when we pray, God is awesome in this place. He is awesome. Come, Lord. Come now. Do what only you can do. The altar's open. Look this way, if you will. Has God spoken to you today? Anybody? Anybody? I got two hands up because He's really spoken to me today. A lot of things. Well, I send you out in the name of Jesus, in His power, to go in His name with joy, great joy, knowing that He'll provide for all of our needs. Bless you.